Live. Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Mostly Peaceful Latinas. I'm your host, Linda.
And I'm your host, Bella.
Today we have a packed show. We haven't been here in a while. Bear with us. We are a little late. Angel, for some reason, we look really yellow on YouTube. I don't know if that's a thing, but on my computer, we do. Okay. We have a lot of things to discuss.
Well, not too many. We're just going to discuss a lot about two main things.
Yeah. Well, that's fine.
We've got the... So we're going to take... We're going to pick up from where we left off last show. So last show, we talked to you guys about the manosphere basically becoming the new feminism. The new feminism. And we talked to you about a tweet by Rollo Tomasi that basically suggested that young men should get vasectomies and avoid creating families if they wanted to be high-value men. Well, this has sent a shockwave through the red pill manosphere community, and we're basically watching it all implode. So we're going to be giving some commentary on that, as well as discussing the findings of the Durham report that we've only been waiting on for 4 years. 300 pages. Sounds like a big nothing burger, but we do want to discuss the details of that with you guys today and kind of get your feels and your thoughts on what could potentially come next of that criminal investigation. So before we get started, please, guys, don't forget to support us with a share, a like. And if you're not subscribed to our channel, please do. Mostly Peaceful Latinas is a Patriot-funded podcast, so it's self-funded with the exception of our one sponsor, Century H2O. Century H2O is an under-the-sink water filtration system. A lot of the benefits that it has compared to some of its competitors is that it's compact. So if you've got if you're living in an apartment or in a tight living quarters or you don't have a lot of counter space, that's going to be great. It's going to clear your water of all the usual the carcinogens and all the stuff that turns the frogs gay. It's going to give you healthier water. It's also going to boost your own water with minerals. And it's a great product. You'd be supporting Patriots. We say it, Century H2O, it's still conducting studies at East Palestine. In fact, over the next week, we should have for you the independent studies that Century H2O conducted in East Palestine's water to really let you know what's going on there. We know that the government told us that not much was happening in the water out there and that it was safe to drink. The results from this Century H2O study do say otherwise, but please show us some support. Check out their product. Check out, use code MPL10 at checkout for a percentage off. And you can support us and support Century H2O and their efforts that continue at East Palestine and support a great Patriot company. So, hey girl.
Hey. Do we fix the lighting? I was really concerned. We look green and orange. I think it's better, right? Yeah. I think it's better. Sorry, guys. I don't want to look green on camera. But we had an interesting perspective on the whole manosphere. You guys saw there's I don't know which is the first video that you're going to post. There is a video going around of Lila Rose from Life.org, a great woman. I don't necessarily agree with the latest things that she said about Trump, but I do agree with her mission and her.
Well, I mean, I understand what her perspective is because she's with Live Action, right? So like her thing is like 100%. No issue. She's like really a single issue voter when it comes to the abortion topic. And I would imagine that for somebody like her, she'd probably prefer somebody with a stance of the 6-week ban and not somebody with more of a moderate standpoint on that, I would say.
Well, still pro-life. But it's still, you know, still legally the fact that she wants an abortion ban from the president. First of all, you're not going to get the House of Representatives to pass an abortion ban at any week, I think, maybe 15. And that means that you would have to take the House. We don't have the House. So the president cannot, with the signature, just implement an abortion ban. So is she really being rational? But it doesn't matter because we're not going to talk about her necessarily.
We do want to talk. So let's remind everybody of what's actually going on. So last week, we showed you guys this tweet from Rollo Tomasi. Now, Tomasi is known as the godfather of the red pill community. So the Andrew Tates of the world, the Sneakos of the world, the Fresh and Fits of the world. And Rollo shared this very controversial tweet, which basically said that the quickest path to becoming a high value man is avoid marriage, avoid family creation, have a vasectomy in your 20s. We can all agree the rest of them seem like pretty good advice. Lift consistently, eliminate all sedations, learn networking, yada, yada. But these 3 points, don't get married. Tomasi's been married for close to 30 years. Don't get married, avoid family creation and vasectomy in your 20s has almost imploded the red pill community, where there's a huge split right now where can one define what is a high value man? When you're talking to these individuals like the Rollo Tomasi's of the world, the Fresh and Fit guys of the world, what do they actually define as a high value man? Which is the conversation that we had last week, which is that these by the red pill community, a high value man is defined as someone who has a lot of money, drives a Bugatti, and has sex with a lot of women.
Yeah.
Now, is that truly what a high-value man is, or a high-value man is a hardworking man, a man that prioritizes his family, a man that creates a safe place for him, for his family, a man that provides, a man that is good to his community? Like, those are things that stand out as a high-value man, but it seems like there is a split going on right now in the community. And it all started, I want to play the clip, with this bit of Sneeko and Destiny made an appearance on Fresh and Fit, and the topic of this tweet comes up. And I want to play this because what happens is that Sneeko basically says, and for those of you that are unaware, Sneeko is now like on this spiritual journey of sorts, because he's decided to transform into the Muslim faith. And basically he brings up the point that's like, what is a high value man? What is the goal, the final outcome of a high value man, if not to create a family and a legacy? And then he receives pushback on that. Well, where that's not what necessarily what a high value man is, because women don't deserve to be married to men or whatnot. So let's play this clip of Sneeko actually challenging Rollo Tomasi on Fresh and Fit, asking him what he thinks qualifies a high value man.
First place.
How old are you, bro?
Douche nozzles?
Yes. You guys are fucking idiots. Why you guys come in here from fucking Twitch stream? Like, how you guys are legitimate in all of this? I don't know, because...
Wait, let me start it from the beginning. I just realized it wasn't at the
beginning. Talking a lot for 5 minutes. What is your definition of a high-value man?
It doesn't matter. That's not what I was talking about in this.
Just say, what is a high-value man?
You tell me what a high-value man is. Because here's the thing, is it doesn't matter what I'm going to say is a high-value man. You guys are fucking
idiots. Good as your fucking tweet. You gave a list of 8 things. Do these 8 things become a high value man? And you're not defining what A is. You've got some conception of a high value man. Here are 8 points that you think you need to do to get to it. And now you're getting blown the fuck up on the vasectomy thing, which you probably realize is fucking ridiculous. But you're too old and stubborn to walk back from it. That's the point of this conversation.
I'm not too stubborn to fucking walk back from it, because the point of it was to get douche nozzles like yourself to fucking have this conversation in the first place.
How old are you, bro? Douche nozzles?
Yes. You guys are fucking idiots. Why you guys come in here from fucking Twitch stream? Like, how you guys are legitimate in all of this? I don't know, because everything I've heard come out of you guys' mouth is just fucking confident ignorance.
So... he refused to walk back the vasectomy comment, even though it's creating this giant controversy. So Sneeko goes on to ask him, Sneeko and Destiny both go on to ask him, all right, so just define what a high value man is. And the segment goes on for like 15 minutes where he refuses to answer. And then he says the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Most contradictory thing I've ever heard. He says a high value man differs based off culture and circumstance. So if you're living in a small village in Guatemala somewhere, your definition of high value is going to be different than somebody in another situation, maybe in the States. So the point that Sneeko brings up next is, you know, as a red pill ideology, if you will, we're constantly beating up women for saying that beauty standards are subjective to the, that that there is no standard, that they feel like a 10, so they are a 10. So how are we constantly going to tell women that you don't get to define what this like cultural value is that you have on your own based off your own experience, but then you're going to tell men that it's like, well, you know, if you're the manager at a McDonald's, then you're high value because in your circles, that's considered high value.
Lighting is a bit green. Yeah, it's weird. We'll see if Angel can fix it. Honestly, I believe that all these men are losers. I've said this from clips earlier on the podcast, from episodes before. A lot of guys got mad. They called me a cat lady. They said I was a Mary because they always, like, they're basically the equivalent to liberals, right? So if you don't agree with abortion, if you don't agree with open borders, if you don't agree with homosexuality, or at least homosexuality inserted into children's books, then of course you are a homophobic racist. The same way, if we do not agree that men should have a plethora of women, that they should, that according to them, sleeping with multiple women makes their value go up. By the way, that's a huge cope. If we don't agree that men shouldn't get married because statistically, they do a lot of statistically, women are going to get half of your money or going to leave you on the street or going to take your kids from you. There's a lot of, it's a very fear-based, what is it, industry or economy? Or I mean, I don't know what to call
it. It is an industry and an economy because it's all man coaching.
It's a very fear-based propaganda, even I would say community. That's what it is. It's a fear-based community where they only base everything that they say, including Pearl, who I cannot fucking stand. I'm glad more people are on my page because I just always thought she was whack as hell. They just live their lives based on statistics. So it's like, well, statistically speaking, 50% of couples are going to end up, you know, in divorce. And if 50% of couples end up in divorce, that means that out of those 50%, 100% of the men are going to get fucked. So there is a lot of insecurities. There's a lot of, I would even say delusional commentary, such as, single moms will never be able to get remarried. No one's ever going to love them. If you are over the age of 23, basically throw yourself off a bridge because you are expired. Women age like rotten milk is the one that I saw the other day on Twitter. Obviously, by 27, pretty much you're done. You're never going to have kids, so you're just useless. You must be a cat woman, and if you say anything negative about their community, then obviously you are unmarried and you are childless. So to me, a lot of it is based on incels that are online. If you see men, and I was actually talking to Andy Frisella about it today, who's a billionaire at this point. This guy's a billionaire. He has the Bugatti. He doesn't just have a Bugatti. He has an entire collection of cars. He built his own house just to house his cars. That's how many cars he has. He's not out there showing it off to the world. And I was talking to Andy Frisella about it. He said, you know, every single extreme, and I'm talking about the top 1%, like very, very successful men are going to tell you that it takes one woman to build with them and or for them to be focused. Why is that? Because they want to be the best in the healthcare industry or a soccer player or whoever it may be. So they're not going to be spreading their energy all over the place. They're going to be focused on their craft or on their job. Another person that I talk to a lot as well, very, very wealthy, very successful by all means of the manosphere. He's probably a high value man. He's attractive. He's in shape. He has money. He has the baddest girl, super hot. They just had twins. Self-made millionaire, Vit Times, right? If you guys follow him, he's about to have a conference in Tampa in June where you can go learn from him and a lot of other people. He has an Indian name, so I don't know if it's Vic or Vit. Anyways, he's going to tell you the same thing, and he's had viral TikToks. He's had a lot of our TikToks about this one subject, which is the reason why I chose my wife or why we worked out is because when I met her, she knew that my priority was building this business, which is going to be passed down to my children. And she knew that I was going to be working from 7 a.m. or 8 a.m. to 5 o'clock, that I eat, breathe, and sleep my business, that I started my business on a mattress, sleeping inside of the office because I was too poor to be able to afford rent at home and rent for my home office. So because of that, she said, no problem. And they have this great, you know, she's a stay-at-home wife. They're very wealthy. They travel, the whole thing. But he will tell you, he's not out there telling you, go have sex with 15 women a week, or the more that you have sex, the higher value you become. I mean, listen, I don't disagree, or I don't necessarily like hate on men hoes or even women hoes. I don't encourage it. But to say that you acquire value because you sleep with more people, it's just complete buffoonery and clownery.
And more importantly, to discredit the value of having a good woman and life partner by your side.
Right, because they're scared.
Right. Like, how can you deny? In fact, I want to play this quick video by Andrew Tate, because even he, who's, you know, ultimate supreme leader, has had this to say, which is to Linda's point. Let's watch this.
You're only trying to have sex with women and have no emotional connection. They're weirdos. A lot of this red pill, how to get girls stuff, a lot of them are like that as well. They're like, the peak masculine life is just to have a bunch of women that you barely know. And that's stupid. That's fucking ridiculous, right? Every man, if you want to have a good life, you need to have a good relationship with a good woman. When you get sick, it's your woman who's going to care, not your boys, right? But you can love her and she can love you with all her heart. You can love each other. You can be prepared to take a bullet for her and still fuck other bitches.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying? It's no big deal. Yeah. We got to do.
But
this is the exact point.
I don't
understand
why they are so hard on Destiny then for having an open relationship. They're so hard on the blue hair liberal for having an open marriage. I don't understand why they care so much.
Yeah, and I mean, and to I don't Destiny's, get it. He's such a great debater, by the way. I would love
he
to like,
really
I would
is.
Love to debate like, politics
honestly,
with him, because
Destiny is like way better than a lot of his men. Like,
he's very level-headed.
He's very level-headed
in his arguments. And even though he believes in a very liberal ideology, which, by the way, I found out today that he was Cuban.
Oh, yeah.
And grew up as a conservative. Of course, growing up in a Cuban household, he was like a Bush Republican, writing votes about how Bush was his hero when he was in middle school. But he argues points from a liberal. I would love to debate him because he really does articulate these liberal,
liberal
positions from a very common sense kind of way. Right. Mm-hmm. Like today I was watching on the Whatever podcast that
is his name really Destiny?
No, his name is Steven.
Oh.
I was watching on the Whatever podcast that he basically somebody makes the argument that employers should check to see if girls have OnlyFans in order to deny them employment.
I
or
saw
not.
That too.
And then
I
he makes the argument. He's like, well, how are you going to sit here as a conservative? And, you know that you guys get canceled because somebody will go back on your Twitter history and find like one off-colored joke that you made and called something gay 10 years ago. And now you're getting canceled for that. But now you're going to suggest that the same behavior should be made to these girls. It's just such a logical perspective that he consistently seems to articulate. But part of his perspective about the way that he sees his relationship is that
open marriage.
Yeah, he believes like, why should it only be one-sided? Like, why do you guys have to lie or like cheat or make it where it's this power dynamic where I can cheat and fuck all the girls that I want and the woman that I'm with isn't, when you can have that agreement on both on both sides and have a happy, healthy relationship? I don't think that you can have a happy, healthy relationship, but I'm a plebe when it comes to that. And pretty standard and normal, but they do give him a really hard time. And then what it defaults to is that they always attack his manhood because, you know, he's bi. So
he's bi?
So he's bi. And because he identifies as bi, whenever he makes and articulates a solid concrete point, then it's like, oh, you're just gay. You're just like, you know, peanuts in your mouth or whatever it is.
I didn't know he was bi. So he cheats on his girl also with men.
So he articulates that it's predominantly women that he's had experiences with men. He doesn't talk about his experiences with men, but he is predominantly attracted to women. But he can find a man attractive is how he's defined it. The same thing with his girlfriend. Well, his wife, because they're married, says that she is attracted to men as well. Predominantly when she when she goes out, because they don't bring people in. It's them having their individual relationships with other people. It's usually with women. It's not usually with men.
Who's usually with women?
Melina, Destiny's wife.
And he's usually with men?
Usually with women as well. There doesn't seem to be a lot of other men. He gets a lot of play. But it's like, I was thinking, like, he's been a famous YouTube streamer since he was in high school.
I could see how he gets a lot of play despite the fact that he's a blue-haired liberal. I could see it.
I could totally see somebody, if all the liberals were like him, life would be a lot easier to believe in like this two-party system because it wouldn't be like these extremes, illogical, like screaming in your face. Like, he actually articulates very good points. You know, and he challenges the red pill community, and he's been calling it cringe for a very long time. I'm glad you brought up Pearl. I don't have a clip of it, but I recently saw a video of Pearl reacting. It was one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen in my entire life. And it's Pearl reacting to this this other Manosphere YouTuber that basically says that women go into Christianity when they're done with their whole phases, and that when the women don't really seek God, what they seek is to make men submissive, and that Christianity and believing in God and religion makes men, not Christianity directly, they said religion, makes men submissive with the idea of God. That the idea of making, listen to this, to anybody that's read Genesis, the idea of making sin shameful is a women's tactic so that they could have control over men.
The idea of making what?
Sin shameful is really just the workings of women so that they could control men through their shame. Basically, the church is just like all hookup culture, and the only people that go to church are simps and women who want to control men and turn them into simps.
She is a pygmisha. That's all I can say about her. Pearl does need to work on her appearance, and it's something that I've been very critical of off camera for a very long time. I have no idea why somebody as basic looking as her, and I would even say unfortunate looking, has the audacity to tell every other girl, whether they're whores, whether they're on OnlyFans or not, whether they're single moms, whether they're over 30, whether they're 45, what they should or should not do and what their value is. She's just not attractive. And it's not just about attraction. She's also very masculine. So there's that, you don't have to be a 9 or a 10 to have charm and to exude femininity. And you know who's actually a good example that my friend Alba told me about? That girl, I mean, I think she is beautiful, but and Alba's right. The girl from Euphoria, that she's like the hottest like Gen Z actress. Mm-hmm. Her name is Sydney Sweeney.
Mm-hmm.
So Sydney, without makeup, without everything, is just like a very basic white girl. Like, that's it. Like that, and with big boobs, right? But she's not like spectacular. Like,
but it's, she has big boobs.
Right, but she, but it doesn't matter. The point is that she exudes like femininity and sexuality, and like she, you know, like that makes her a 10. That makes it, like, it's an energy thing. It's her charm. It's what she exudes, right? So she goes from being like, okay, she's a 6, right? Or a 7. She goes up to a 10 based on her energy and based on her charm. Pearl can't do that because despite the fact that she has no style, she doesn't look good, she doesn't do her hair, she doesn't want to do her makeup, she's not into cosmetics or any enhancements, she's also not feminine. Well, so she'll put on a pink dress and pearls and still look like a softball player, a women basketball player. And then, I mean, I get it. It's sensationalism. She's huge. And
well, that's what she's always done. You know that before Pearl became big in the Manosphere, like, her thing was like, world's whitest white girl reacts to like rap video, world's whitest white girl. And it was like playing off her race and this like inherently like really white kind of, you know, perspective of who she is. My thing now, I'm looking like mad pink in the camera.
I'm telling you, there's something green, off with the
cameras. Why am I red? Sorry, Angel. You guys should see Angel's face here. Guys, don't forget, your contributions help us pay for this beautiful studio and Angel's patience. My deal with Purdy is the following. Bro, I've seen a lot of girls that are we live in Miami, bro. Like, I'm like, by most standards, by Miami standards, I'm like the most below average person. And I feel like my entire life, I've been able to pull guys or pull good. I don't want to say pull guys because it's not about pulling like a plethora of men. I've been able to find good men, right? Yeah. So to me, her looks aren't necessarily as much of it as that she's incapable of having a relationship.
Yeah, but how are her looks not a problem when in that community they literally rape women all the time?
Yeah,
like it wouldn't be a problem if she wasn't part of a community that literally goes around saying, what's your body count, tell me how old you are, and then also what are you from 1 to 10?
Yeah, rate
and
yourself
then
she, from
and
one
then
to
rate
ten.
Yourself from 1 to 10, and then every single show on those people, it's like, well, you're not actually a 9, you're a 2. And like, you're fucking fat and you're this and you're a whale. And she goes around calling whales. That girl called her out. She calls everyone fat, everyone obese, tells everybody to lose weight. And I'm not saying you have to be Lizzo, but her man was literally obese. She dated a 500-pound man. So
single father of two.
So
broke her single father.
So
of two.
It does matter to me in this context. And it will matter because she should be held accountable for her looks. Not everybody. She should be held accountable for her looks, and people should definitely shame her to look better and get shit done if she has
well,
to.
Well, she
I
says
don't
the
care.
Shame works for her. She's actually openly said the shame works for
it
her.
It hasn't worked enough.
She says it worked some. She knows she still has some weight. She claims that she still knows she has some weight to lose.
But I don't even care about the weight.
My bigger issue with her, it's like, bro, you've never had a relationship. Like, you're out here telling women how they're not going to find men. Like, you're going to be burned out by the time you're 22.
That's
and
what
you're
I
not going to go.
Either.
And if you're single mom and men don't want that, I mean, like, bro, like, men don't want you.
I'm older than Pearl and I look better than her, and if you were to put me and her in a room, I guarantee you 9 out of 10 guys are going to ask me on a date and not her. No offense, that's just facts. So
how many single moms can you think of, single moms over 35 that have technically hit the wall,
right,
that would absolutely pull 1,000 times more men than Pearl? Like, it really has not, like, these things that Pearl has placed like all this value on. And then again, she needs to find God. Because for her to openly say
like a basketball player.
that women are only using the church as a way of dominating men, it's so sick. But it's what's so toxic about this movement. And we talked about it the last time when we were talking about what truly
Sneeko is like, this is why Muslims, bro, real Muslims aren't on the internet doing what you do either. Like, if they are preaching the Quran, it's going to be very, very different. And you don't convert to Islam within a day and then just all of a sudden, like, did you read all of their scripture? Like, have you practiced it? Like, to me, it's also
learning. He's really, I think that before, like, saying the Muslim thing was just something that all of these guys say because it's what allows them to have these, like, several wives and what they most closely associate with this lifestyle that they claim they want to have, right? Mm-hmm. But I think that this last statement that he makes about, like, dude, like, what's the point if it's not a family? Like, how are you going to define a high-value man by anything other than whether or not you have a legacy and a family? I would argue that that has to be the influence of him submerging himself into the Muslim faith.
Yeah.
Because religion will do that to you.
Really, really quick, I just want to give a shout out to Adam Silva for your contribution. He says, welcome back, ladies. MAGA women are the most beautiful, feminine, graceful creatures in existence. We love and support you. Thank you so much, Adam. We truly appreciate your contribution every time we're live. Maylene, hi, ladies. They close our YouTube channel. We will come back stronger. Holy shit, what happened? What do you guys say on that YouTube channel?
Spanish.
Because our YouTube channel's fine, and we thought we wouldn't be fine, but our stuff is fine. I wonder if there's somebody like watching you and reporting you, or is it that you are breaking actual like policies, right? Like maybe DM us and tell us what it is that they told you. Robert Lee says the red pill movement has become fragile and most are hypocritical. YouTube has become unbearable. Both sides have gotten away from family.
And that's,
it's so true. Yeah. It's so true. Like, even men, like, when you think about it, even men, like, that are cheaters or were, like, you know, like, in South America, there was a lot of men that would have, like, two families and stuff. Like, even those men were still family men. Like, as bad as that sounds, like, those men were still committed to their wives. Like, sure, I'm not excusing it. I'm not saying this is the way that you should do it, like, the better angle of the situation. But, like, in the case that a man did have a second family, like, they were literally taking the time to be with their first family and doing all the things that a man does and a father and a husband and then spending time with
and their protecting second family. Them from finding out, which might seem reversed, but, dude, like, I've told Linda this before, like, what's my ideology on cheating? Like, if you're cheating on me, bro, like, you better be going out of your way to hide it. Like, yeah. I want you with anxiety 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Know that your worst nightmare is that I'm going to find out that if you ever lost me, your life would fall apart. Like, I want people to exist in that energy, this new reality, which is what...
El Chapo, the family man. Absolutely right.
It's true,
absolutely
though.
Absolutely right. That is a family man for sure.
Is it not?
Yeah.
When you really think, and think about like grandparents, right? Like when you talk to your grandparents that have been married for like 60 plus years, there tends to be a cheating story. There tends to be about a time when the grandfather stepped out or whatever it was. But the one thing that seems to be consistent is that the respect for his wife and his family was always the priority. Like, you're some side chick, you're whatever, and then this is my family and this is what we do. That's not what these guys want. They want to treat, they claim that they want five girlfriends. That's not what they want. They want five side chicks. They want to treat everybody in their life as side chicks.
They don't want a wife. They don't want, and it's really unfortunate. Here's an interesting comment, Big Clips. Sneeko is just trying to find his path because he is mixed race, and it's hard having an identity when you are a mixed race. He doesn't look Haitian nor does he speak Philippines language.
I don't know, people could have an identity crisis, but with Nico, I just feel like he got into this massive here when he was like in his early 19, like 21 years old. He's a kid, you know.
He's a kid, and he's obviously being persuaded by like the bigger characters that played a role in his life,
and by his own popularity,
and including Andrew Tate, and by his own popularity.
Because if he knows that if I say more of this, I get more likes, I get more followers, and he's gonna say more of those controversial things without necessarily putting a lot of thought into it, because he's just a kid. And that's why I think we're seeing the progression in Sneeko so much more clearly than when some of the other guys in the manosphere, because he was so young. And this trend, it's just him growing up. It's just him growing up and realizing that the ideology has changed. I actually want to bring up this tweet, which is actually, so this was Tristan Tate. David Rams basically goes off an unrelated tweet, but says vegan activist blah, 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 will debate red pill celebrity Tate, the talisman on veganism. And Tristan Tate's response to that is to say, please don't refer to me as red pill. Those people are autistic. Basically letting us know exactly where it is that he stands. And this is a tweet from just a few days ago, right after this entire Rowan Tomasi things happened. And I think that to go back...
celebrity, the vegans are mad about it. They're comparing it to drinking tea with a Nazi, and it's wrong, and engage with somebody like Tristan.
Yeah, he's responding to an unrelated comment and accusation that's made about him, but it's how he refers to the red pill community.
Please refer to me as red pill. Those people are autistic. Also, a half black man descended from slaves. I find your choice of example very poor taste. I don't need white people even loosely linking me to apartheid politicians who lynch blacks.
Interesting. They go off on their social justice stuff, but that's what's going on, where it's like even Tristan Tate doesn't want to be associated with this kind of like...
Well, you can just like see the difference between a man like Tristan Tate. Like, I'm sorry. And I'm sure that even if he has a couple hoes on the side or whatever, he's still a good father. Maybe he didn't work out with his baby mama. Maybe it'll be another girl. But you could just tell the difference between someone like Tristan Tate and like Myram from Fresh and Fit, or the black guy, or Fresh, right? That's his name.
Right.
Or Rolo Tomasi, or any of these guys. I think that a big thing is, I mean, look, let's be honest. A lot of this is for likes and sensationalism,
right,
and not real. They know that. A lot of them do. Some of the ones have created a craft of their pain or experiences, like Myram, who we watched the video the other day. And this guy, if you guys don't know, Fresh and Fit is like the most popular man's podcast on YouTube. It gets millions of views. It goes viral. The clips go viral. And it's here in Miami. It's basically like three times a week. They bring a bunch of like low IQ, very young, some of them naive girls. I'm not saying that they are whores or not, or OnlyFans. I don't care to get into that right now. But the point is that
they're bringing a particular type of girl.
A lot of times, sometimes they'll mix in like a conservative girl or someone like that, just to have sensationalism. And so that conservative trad girl can push back against these OnlyFans hoes. But the point with them is that they purposely do that because they know that they can create this image that all girls, especially Gen Z, are dumb, low IQ, OnlyFans, promiscuous, not high value, and therefore it's why men shouldn't stick to a woman. Women deserve less is actually the name of his book. But it's a completely, it's very different than somebody like Tristan Tate, even not just looks wise, but just his attitude, his energy, very, very different.
It's like you look at somebody like Tristan Tate and they're like at a higher level of like high value, let's say, right? He's got the money, the whole nine, the power, the control, the looks, he's tall, whatever. He's got all of these things going for him. And then you've got a guy at that status and even he's not a piece of shit like some of these incels on the internet is. So I think that that's always been the problem that we've discussed with the Manosphere, which is like it empowers the worst of men to think that they could demand the same as a high value man, you know? Yeah. What are you laughing at? He says,
oh, nah, Pearl needs to chill, looking like Eliza Thornberry. Yeah. Kill me, yeah. Killing me, Smalls. It's true. It's
let's
true.
Actually, so then here's the other thing which I was completely oblivious to up until this week when this particular clip that I'm about to play starts making rounds. Apparently, the red pill is not the trad pill. They don't believe in traditional values. In fact, they poke fun of people that do believe in traditional conservative Christian lifestyles. They when Sneeko was basically talking about on this Fresh and Fit podcast, yeah, how he believed that men should start families or whatnot. And the response is, oh, nah, Sneeko got trad pilled, as if though this was like a bad thing to happen. Yeah. And this is
Which again, I'm sorry, I don't want to interrupt, but like, which again goes like, then look, then who cares? Why are you judging these girls that are on OnlyFans when you yourself do not believe in traditionalism? When you yourself don't want to settle down with one woman? Like, why do you care if these girls are, I mean, it's not morally correct, but it's
neither
legal,
are you.
But neither are you. So, like, you know, I could see a person like Lila Rose or a man with morals pushing back against OnlyFans girls or this immoral ideology or way to make a living. But you, like,
right? And here's, you know, you no. brought up a good point a couple of days ago when we were talking. And just now you mentioned like just energetically, right? Like what kind of energy a man that's out there just trying to sleep with as many women as possible has. And here's what these guys from the red pill community don't realize. Their energetic match, like their frequency match, the people that are down with their lifestyle are exactly the kind of women that they criticize. Mm-hmm. These OnlyFans girls that are looking for guys with money that are open to sleeping around, these are the women that are going to be okay with your lifestyle. This ideology of like the perfect small town girl that grew up in a religious family and, you know, and she's a virgin. That woman doesn't want anything to do with the likes of you. Mm-hmm. Here's a perfect example. We're going to put on this clip. This is what Jay Wilder is his name.
Yes.
Jay Wilder and Lila Rose. Jay Wilder is another one of these like Manosphere dating coaches. Look at me and my Bugatti. And basically he gets challenged by activist Lila Rose into, I'll let you guys watch the clip and then we'll do the commentary.
Fire away, honey.
Okay. if you have only one place in your heart for one woman, or you want to have one woman in your heart, I think you said, why don't you just commit to one and choose to be faithful to her?
I'm just not wired that way. I spent my whole 20s trying to fix myself.
You're a man of self-control. You work out. You do business.
Yeah.
You can possess your own power and direct it the way you want to direct it.
It's not how I am.
You think that might be a limited mindset?
I think it's none of your business, but I don't want you to think I'm triggered by you. I'm not.
Okay.
I saw somebody say that, and I think that's interesting. I think you're annoying, but I'm not triggered. You know what I'm saying? No, you are. You're annoying in like this goody two-shoes type way, and that's fine. I'm going to live my life on my terms. unapologetically, mm-hmm. like truly. So you can ask me this 85 different ways. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I'm going to walk out of here the same man.
Make it make sense to me.
He's a hurt man.
First of all, how triggered was he?
He was really triggered. But I watched like half of this podcast. It was like a 3-hour long podcast that I could not watch the whole thing. I'm also not a fan of this guy at all. But I will talk about that maybe another day. I just, you can just tell that this is a hurt man. He's attractive. He's like 6'5". I mean, not for me. I don't find him attractive, but he is an attractive guy.
By the definition of
attraction. Right. It's not my type, but I could see it. He has a lot of money. He built businesses outside of social media, which, you know, a lot of people like that more because you're not, whatever it is, whatever definition of making money. You know, he lives in Miami, he's got the girls, he's got everything, but he literally finds somebody like Lita Rose annoying because she's too good to be true, because she's a godly woman, she has a purpose, she's modest, she's feminine, she's pretty, she's soft-spoken. She actually complimented him. One of the things that these men like to say on the manosphere is how women get complimented so much. They're always being told they're pretty or they're sexy or they're nice or not. And men usually don't get any compliments, right? Obviously, this is a general statement. I'm sure you ladies compliment your men or whatever men in your life. But basically, men complain that they are not complimented as much as women. So before Lila goes, I don't know if it's Lila or Lila, whatever, Lila Rose, I think. Before she goes on the offense to drill him with this question, like, you're a man of self-discipline, you work out, you have your business, like, she is literally boosting your ego before she's like, isn't that a limited mindset? And just off of that question, he literally, like, he went like this. He melted. It was like sand.
Yeah. Yeah.
He melted.
Yeah, we saw him completely fall apart in that clip.
There's literally a hurt little boy inside of him. More than likely, it's mommy issues. It's always either daddy issues with girls if they're very promiscuous and if they they're players. And with men, it's usually mommy issues as well, whether they didn't have a mom and or later on they got screwed over by a woman. Maybe they got cheated on, whatever it may be. And therefore, they carry that trauma, unhealed trauma, until later on in life. Obviously, they look at somebody like us because we're women and they'll say, well, you guys just don't understand how men are wired. Like, this is just the way that we're wired. Meanwhile, there's a lot of men out there who are married, who are happily married, who are protectors, who don't need to sleep with a different woman every single night. And then it's like, well, if somebody like Lila Rose pisses you off so much, based on her questions and based on the fact that she is a moral, God-driven woman, then what is your type? Obviously, they can't be as good as her. So by definition of what this manosphere says a woman is, right? So getting married young, being feminine, being modest, it's a big one. Being pretty, being slim, like all these things. So she has it. She checks every single box, right? So if you don't like that type of woman,
that's annoying
in a goody two shoe type of way, then what is your type?
Well, a little bit more
hoey, a little bit more forward, a little bit of the chest showing, a little bit more like, yes, maybe I suck a dick a week, like not five. Like, what is your definition of a high value woman? I'm going to go ahead and say that his perfect match would be the girl that was right in front of him or it wasn't right in front of him. It was
the
like,
one in the pink dress that was divorced. I was talking about her.
I'm
going to
go ahead and say that is his type of women, that his type of women is a promiscuous girl that would have sex with him on the first date, that would like to go drinking. We have a table. We get fucked up, we go on the boat, we travel one weekend, we have sex whenever, and then we disconnect when we come back from this trip. Not a godly woman, not too good, because that's annoying. That's just what I think.
One of the things that really took me back from this interview is Lila asks him, like, you know, your kids grow up, like, you want to have children and your kids grow up knowing that their mom isn't the only one that you have mm-hmm. these open relationships. Like, do you want that for your children? And he sent something that it's
sends chills down my spine. He says, I'm not going to simp for my daughters.
Oh my God, that killed me. That killed me.
I'm not going that to simp killed me. For
that
my,
killed me.
Like, tell me that you're low value. Tell me that you're the lowest value of man. When you're seriously going to come out here and compare showing your dad, your daughter values and morality of the expectations that she should set on how she should be treated. And your answer as their father is, I'm not going to simp for my daughters. You are not high value, sir. You are as low value as it could possibly come. As you're making the argument for why so it's okay comments, to consistently demean women. Well, there's a couple of here. Somebody clarified that he basically speaks out on a show that his mother cheated on his dad and that she was like a church going lady and she ruined their life. So there you go. There's his trauma. The you same thing with me. I was listening to
Well, I mean, it's kind of like our guest too, right? Like, we like Sterling, he's cool. But then sometimes I see some of his posts, I'm like, bro, you were a porn star. Like, we can get past that. We're cool. Right. Like, you know, God will, you know, cleanse you of all your sins. And I'm sure women will sleep with you and women will have kids with you. You know, just like men had kids with somebody like Jenna Jameson, right? But I do not agree with men that have engaged in, you know, what we would call degenerate immoral behavior, demeaning the girls, the OnlyFans girls who sell their bodies for money and thinking that they're superior to them simply because they have a penis. I have a problem with that. And I don't care if that sounds like a feminist statement. And I'm going to tell you why. Because somebody like Jay Waller, and I told you this, it took him, and he said it on the podcast, it took him a decade to become rich. It took him a decade to work his ass off to have those businesses, whatever they are. And now, you know, it doesn't take a woman that wants to engage in OnlyFans a decade, depending on your popularity or what you do. I don't know how OnlyFans works. I'm sure that there are some women that can actually make $1 million in 1 year, right? And they can genuinely say within 2 years, I am a self-made millionaire based on twerking or putting my farts in a jar. I saw that. I saw some girl that was like setting her farts in a jar or selling feet pictures. It is a lot easier for these women, whether we think it's moral or not, to become self-made and millionaires on the internet simply by selling their bodies. And I think the man bros are mad.
There's like some level of like resentment for that.
I think the man bro, the what is it? The alpha bros are mad because they know that they can never do that. Even if they were to like be OnlyFans models for gay men, that's a real thing. They would probably not get half the money that the 1% of OnlyFans women gets. So that's my thing.
Yeah, I think that we're definitely watching the imploding of the manosphere happen. These guys can't, you know, they're bitter children that are being exposed now. And I think that as they start getting older, because a lot of these guys are really young, they're going to find a girl that they like. Like, it's so obvious that this is just bitterness.
They're going to find a bigger whore than they are. Here's the thing about them. It's all about the mental game. It's like one of my nail ladies who she now has a kid with a guy that she wasn't chasing him. She wanted him, but she played her psychology in a way where this guy that was very promiscuous, all the girls liked him because he was super hot, fell for her, ultimately got her pregnant, and ultimately now they're together and they're buying a home. But she had to play that card, and I've heard all the stories. I mean, I'll be here forever. I'll be here forever. But my point is that it will take that type of girl that can psychologically manipulate that man, right?
Right, to get him to settle down.
To get him to settle down.
Which is exactly the kind of woman that they dog on a regular basis.
And those women will always throw men in front of them, will say like, okay, like, well, you don't want to be with me? Peace out, motherfucker. I'm going out with this bigger baller than you. Because it's always going to be a bigger baller than you.
That was hands down. We had somebody in the last show comment like, oh, you know, you two are just like single and bitter.
But that's what they always say.
You're just bitter hoes. You're just bitter single hoes. It's like, bro, let me explain to you the perspective that we're coming from.
I wish I was a
hoe. We are the good girls that consistently through our life existence have lost two hoes. Hoes get the guys. Hoes get the bag. Hoes get the car. We are the good girls that have consistently seen what you guys claim is reality out there. The red pill community that claims hoes don't win and hoes and women hit the wall and nobody wants a woman over 30. Nobody wants a gold digger and nobody wants a girl that's been passed around. Cap. Bullshit. Mad bullshit, because we've seen it. Yeah. We've lived it as women that don't operate that way. As good girls, we've taken L after L after L at the hands of exactly the kind of women that you say that you're not interested in.
Yeah, 100%. It's like the reason, exactly, Annabella. It's the reason why Camilla Parker, despite the fact that she was older, despite the fact that she was married once and had children, was still Charles Love. He had the virgin, 18 years old, never touched, beautiful, feminine, charming, a mother, fertile. He had it all with Princess Diana, only so he could cheat on her with his mistress that he was in love with.
The older, post-war,
divorced, and definitely not more attractive than Princess Diana. Because again, it has nothing to do with that. I'll tell you something else. I just found out this week through a very, very uncomfortable situation that I'm experiencing. That I'm not going to talk about it right now because I don't want to get into a bad mood again. But I found out this week an interesting fact that I would have never known without this situation, which is that there is a luxury pawn shop in Las Vegas called Mad Pawn or Max Pawn. Long story short, they sell some of the most rare, exclusive luxury items that you can think of. Anything, anywhere from, I literally saw it listed on their website, a $175,000 Hermes crocodile, albino crocodile bag. There's like five in the world. Kim and Kylie have two. Georgina has another one. And like, that's a fourth one. Okay. That's how rare these are. And I'm asking to myself, where the hell are these people getting this merchandise? Because this is in Las Vegas, right? There's a lot of money moving in Vegas, as we know. And I'm on the phone with someone like, wait, are these like real? Are these bags authentic? Like, what's the deal? And I'm talking about like, we'll look them after, like spectacular shit. You know what they tell me on the phone? 90% of these extremely rare and luxurious bags come from strippers and whores. Those were gifts that their sugar daddies and or men. I kid you not. He's like, you know that there's all these men that come here and they go to the strip clubs and they end up taking out the girls and they take him shopping and all this stuff. He's like, those girls get the bag and then they're strippers. They're in it for the money. They don't give a shit to have a $10,000 bag or $20,000 or whatever. So they go and sell it brand new. They get their money and they dip. And that's how those people have those bags. All hoes.
But hoes can't win. Don't throw. Because you know how many good girls are out here being ignored by the likes of y'all? Because you're chasing down bitches with blue check marks and their asses hanging out on Instagram? Get the fuck out of here.
I was like in shock.
And it goes back to, listen, as a society, I agree that we've fallen down a path of degeneracy, like in general. So it's not an argument. Like, It is overwhelming to see how many young girls have OnlyFans and are selling their bodies for money. That part is shocking. But I also understand that there's regular ass men and regular ass women that are still out there. Good men and women that would be happy with a two household income, you know, averaging 150K a year with their two cars, a picket fence, or two dogs and their kids and going on vacation 2-3 times a year. There's plenty of people that are going to be happy with that kind of lifestyle and don't need a Bugatti.
All of the hoes that I know from college and high school are all married and they settled. I wouldn't say settled. The word is not settled. but you could say it's settled, depends on your views. But all of those girls are married and or have kids and chose the normal guy. And I'm not saying it as a bad thing. Like, normal is good. But it's like, as you said, they didn't stay being hoes. They chose the good guy that was going to take care of them, yep. And they settled.
Yep.
So, you know, I saw a very dirty...
Settled down, not settled. They're actually happy in their...
Right. So I'm not talking about like, oh, I settled for this hoe or this boy.
Right, this guy, right.
I saw a very interesting clip today, which reminded me of this girl, Brandy, that I knew. And there's like this really nasty Instagram about like prostitutes that they don't show any sex. They talk very sexual stuff in a van. It's called like confession van or whatever. And there's this one particular girl. She's like a prostitute or an OnlyFans hoe. And today she said that she slept with her man's brother while they were together. Like, they were already dating and her man was asleep. And she was like, you know, the brother, I should have chosen the brother because the brother was like hotter and cooler and had the better personality. So she ended up sleeping with her man's brother on their first fight or on their first breakup. She told him like, I slept with your brother, and it made him crazier and more in love with her. And she was
because
like,
it's true, these like, hoes win. Y'all never met like a guy that like you like, and then you find out he has a crazy ex-girlfriend that he's been going back and forth with because she cheats on him, beats him, and it's just like a piece of shit, leaves him whenever she wants.
Yeah.
And that's the one he loves.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. So hoes do win.
I've lost two hoes my whole life.
Yeah,
I've seen hoes win my entire life. I've had to watch hoes win from down here my entire life.
Look, Robert Lee said it.
As young as I could remember, because I remember being really young and not putting out, and then losing guys at that point because they wanted girls that were putting out.
Yeah. Robert Lee, yeah. I know a lot of people like that. They were fresh, they were loose, they were wild, and then they got married like immediately after college. I know a lot of those hoes and they won. They're chilling.
So let's flip the topic towards the end of the podcast and let's talk a little bit about the Durham report, because unfortunately what's happening in politics and the injustices that we've seen brought up against Donald Trump and the conservatives in general is that the wheels of justice, in the words of Attorney General Barr, turned so slow, in fact, that it almost, once we finally get a result of something, it becomes almost anticlimactic. The Durham investigation has been ongoing for the last 4 years, has cost the American people $6.5 million. And it was basically the investigation into the Mueller investigation into Russia collusion. So now, 4 years later, $6.5 million and 300 pages later, the Mueller report has in fact found that there was in fact no wrongdoing from Trump's camp when it came to Russiagate. Part of what it actually found was that there had been some... There was never a justified reason to launch this investigation. And the Mueller report basically concludes that there was, in fact, a pressure from the FBI to pursue this case against Donald Trump, while at the same time holding a much higher standard of what they could go after for Hillary Clinton and the emails and what we know about that case. So the results of this report is that there was no wrongdoing. So we spent the last, 6 years, Russia, Russia, Russia. We know that there was no wrongdoing from Trump or involvement of the of Russia in our elections. In fact, what we do know now is that the Steele dossier was in fact paid for by Clinton camp. These are things that have now been proven true. The Durham report is basically now stating that while it concluded that the FBI mismanaged the investigation and they were irresponsible, there was no criminal intent to it. So basically what we've concluded after 4 years, $6.5 million and, you know, 300 pages worth of reports and all of the nasty headlines is that Donald Trump didn't do anything, but neither did the FBI. Apparently nobody's going to be held accountable.
They're never held accountable. That's why to me, everything lately is so anticlimactic, and I just never fall for these right-wing headlines. I did for a very long time, but it's just like, this is coming out and they're going after, you really think they're going to go after the Biden family? Like, they're, while Biden is sitting as president, he's still literally putting Trump supporters in jail for January 6th. You think he's going to let his son and therefore his entire family and therefore his findings and Obama and everybody else get exposed? Like, that's never going to happen. I'm in a very black pill state of mind, which is necessarily not the best state of mind to be, you know, very disconnected from everything. But I can tell you right now that I just don't believe we live, honestly, in the most corrupt nation in the world. I think it's worse than a lot of nations. And the reason why I think that is because the people with a lot of money who can play lawfare and only elected officials can get, and I'm talking about not all elected officials, because today I had another crazy story that we can't share right now. But I believe that only people like Biden's, I mean, even Trump, With all the money that Trump has in the world, even he can be protected from the deep state or whatever you want to call it, or the Uniparty or Washington, D.C., because they have attacked them more than anybody else. I think with the Russia situation and the Mueller investigation, someone said in the chat, like, you know, anybody who can think critically knew that Trump didn't win because of Russia. Well, here's the thing. You can literally be one of the smartest people in the world. And I know some people that operate on brains and they're still Democrats. Like, do you know how the skill that it takes to operate on a brain? Like, you got to go to school for like 20 years and such shit. Those people are still Democrats. There's a lot of Democrats who, through the media, literally the mainstream media, they are indoctrinated and they believe every single word that has come out of Don Lemon, Brian Seltzer, Anderson Cooper, and everybody else. And then there's also those people on the right. That's why you have so many Republicans who are anti-Trump and hate him. So it's one of those things where, yes, of course, anybody with a brain would know that Trump won because the majority of America wanted him to win, because people that voted for Barack Obama in the Rust Belt and in states like Pennsylvania and Michigan and Wisconsin didn't see a change in Obama and said, this is the guy that is going to bring us back our jobs. It's going to bring steel manufacturing, et cetera. But guess what? Guess what? There's a big portion of our population that is absolutely brainwashed and brain dead, who watch every single headline of the Trump Russia collusion and believe it, and probably even after this comes out will still believe it as well and say, well, yeah, maybe this came out, but I still believe that Vladimir Putin had something to do with their election, because they undermined Trump's election from the moment that he became president that night.
Well, it's actually Representative Adam Schiff is still, just 2 days ago when the report came out, made the comment that the report doesn't conclude that there was Russia collusion. It just says that they couldn't find it. So they're still pushing this narrative. They're going to continue to push this narrative despite it becoming true. And so there's only been one criminal conviction. It was a low-level FBI agent who openly has to confess that he altered the form that allowed for the investigation to be approved to take place and to begin with, right? Because the FBI had to get approval in order to conduct that investigation into the president, to President Trump. And in order to get that approval, they had to falsify evidence that they did not have. So he had to alter a form. in order to get that. And now this lower level FBI agent, which was actually 2 years ago, this isn't something that's coming as a result of the end of the investigation, is the only person that's going to face any kind of criminal prosecution. I always go back to Hillary Clinton took literal hammers to her BlackBerries. She wasn't trying to wash through a hacker or delete her emails. No, like the most obvious intrusion of law. She had been subpoenaed. They needed the they needed the BlackBerries, and her staff took literal hammers to BlackBerries, and we did nothing. We didn't protest. Here's the thing: people want to protest politicians. Nobody wants to protest the intelligence agencies. No. What's going to happen? Nothing. What's really going to happen? At what point do we realize that we've lost control? America is in shambles. You have patriotic Americans that are being arrested for protesting on January 6th or just showing up. You have people that have been arrested just for being in Washington, D.C. They didn't even go inside the Capitol. We've got a former president of the, well, first of all, a sitting president wrongfully, an investigation wrongfully launched against a sitting president. And then we have the persecution of a former president with the raids and the charges and the 3001 things. You can't stop it. Your elected officials are not stopping it. So at what point as Americans do we realize the real hard, accept the real hard and tough truth, which is that America has been lost to our intelligence agencies.
America,
our intelligence agencies are the ones in control. They can launch clandestine investigations behind politicians' back. They don't need any kind of guidance from the electoral branch or the judicial branch. They can just act rogue. They can go completely rogue and arrest regular Americans, go after former sitting presidents whose political ideology they don't agree with. They can alter forms. They can work with the... Remember, the entire investigation into Russia is the working together of the media. Because in order to launch the investigation, they had to cite fake media that had used fake sources in order to launch these stories. So there's... fake sources leak to the media, and then it's the media, the article, the report that's then used as the basis for approving the investigation. So at what point, I don't think that Americans fully grasp yet just how far gone we are.
Yeah.
How far, when we're still having conversations.
No, I think a lot of people get it. They just want to continue to live their normal lives. They're just like I just got to keep working. Yeah, a lot of people.
Do you think that the people that are having the argument that we should vote for Ron DeSantis truly understand the gravity of what they did to Donald Trump? Do you think that, because to me, it was.
Some people do, but they want to get back to normal. It's kind of like a lot of other situations, a lot of other smaller situations that we face where we are the driving force of a movement. Like, we got to fight back about this. Like, you know, even this week, and I've been fighting these people that, you know, we'll tell the story hopefully next week. This local scammers, even, you know, they're scared. We're talking about consumers who seek a service, but they're scared. Like, oh, I just want to leave it alone.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care. Like, oh, I won't take my service back or the refund or whatever. It's the same thing with, like, the school board. Like, we'll just leave it alone.
The school board, just leave it alone.
We'll just leave it alone. The same thing with, like, when the mass was happening. I remember when the mask, when I was suing the city for or the county for the mask, so many people were like, we just got to leave it alone. And I had people who wanted to sue the city or the county. They started the litigation or the started the process of the lawsuit. And then their lawyer backed down because they said, we don't, what happened? Are we good? Oh, like.
You couldn't find a lawyer.
Well, I couldn't find a lawyer for like 2 months because everybody was a pussy and they didn't want to upset.
But that in itself is a problem that it took you 2 months.
But that's what I'm telling you. We are surrounded by cowards. You know, even, I mean, look at what happened to Rudy Giuliani. I think didn't they debar him from New York, the state of New York?
I know they were trying to. I don't know if that's something that
happened. So, I mean, that's why lawyers were afraid to stand up. That's why, you know, a business owner that I know, he started a lawsuit against the city. And then he's like, you know what? And I was like, hey, what happened in your lawsuit? He's like, you know, my lawyer advised against it. He said, we're going to become a target to the city. They're going to start fucking with us. The code is going to start fucking with us. All of a sudden, you have feds here. All of a sudden, oh, you don't have a What happened in the Purple Lotus? You don't have a grease trap. Oh, what about this window? That's not supposed to be there. You're supposed to have two bathrooms. So that's what they do. They use the system in a legal way to come after people. And so people just want to leave it alone. And I think that that is where majority, whether it's Republican or Democrat, are at. I had a conversation with a Jewish man, and I mean, he was like, I literally wanted to bang my head against the wall. And it all had to do with this conversation, which was, I want the entire Trump drama to go away. I want to go back to normal. I hated the January 6th. That was his fault, even though he never did anything.
Right.
That was Trump's fault. He should have never incited the riot or whatever. Even though I told them, listen, you know, a lot of people went to January 6th and a lot of people didn't even know there was a riot at the Capitol because everybody was at the Ellipse, which is over a mile away from the state, from the United States Capitol. Even when I was saying, dude, like, you know, people weren't there to fight or anything. I'm not excusing certain behaviors of people. Even then, he's like, it doesn't matter. It should have never happened. I'm ready to move on. I want to stop being called a racist. I want to stop being called a fascist. And I'm like, oh God, here we go. I literally had to cut off the conversation. And that's where I really think most people are, whether they're left or right. That's you see, somebody says, Deuce sounds like my mother, my grandmother. Yeah, that's where they are. That's where almost every single person pushing for DeSantis wants to go back to normal life before Trump was around. They don't even get that it's too late for that because, you know, even if they allow DeSantis to win, which is a high probability if you believe that the system is rigged, you are still a slave, you know? Like, even during Trump time, there was a lot of horrible things happening to Republicans. There was a lot of people getting fired for wearing a MAGA hat. There was people being accused of being racist towards Black people. There was people being fired for being allegedly homophobic. It happened, you know, during the Black Lives Matter. There were so many people in 2020 that got fired for simply saying that Black Lives Matter were thugs or hood rats or acting violent. Then they associated that with racism and then you got in trouble. So, you know, normalcy is what most people want to go back to. That's my point.
Yeah, I think that normalcy is the idea of normalcy is what they want to go back to. But the thing is that it, you know, someone just asked in the chat, but what's normal? Emery asked. What is normal? Like, there was nothing normal about the situation that we were in, that, like, sleepy kind of paralysis where we couldn't see through the mainstream media narrative.
There's nothing
and, like,
a normal hashtag about campaign nothing that's happened in the last 6 years. Up.
Like, there is no normal to go back to, and thank God for that, because that was never normal. That's always something that had to be brought down. Mm-hmm. So when people say we need to go back to normal, you know, I challenge what the hell is normal anyways? Because whatever the hell that was that we mm-hmm. experienced prior to 2020 wasn't normal. Mm-hmm. You know, if anything, I'd argue that 2020 clearly woke up a lot of people. And, you know, I'm a recruiter, so I talk to a lot of people all day. And one of the things that stood out to me the most about 2020 was that it seemed like close to 90% of every candidate that I spoke to was having like a come to Jesus moment where they were realizing, oh shit, my job is closing down, my office is closing down, blah, 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 blah. These were people that had been at the same job for 10 plus years that would work overtime, would work through their lunch, would you know, get home late sometimes and miss dinner with their kids. And it seemed like the overwhelming majority of people that I was talking to in my line of work, which is of staffing and recruiting, you had a realization in 2020 where they wanted work-life balance. I no longer want to live to work. It was like it snapped people out of it where they maybe started pursuing different career opportunities that gave them that work-life balance or started pursuing more entrepreneurship opportunities that gave them more freedom or maybe, you know, started working from home. And then when the policies changed, we're like, I'm not going to go back. I need to be home to be able and started prioritizing that. So I would argue that as messy as things have looked and chaotic, that old world had to come crumbling down. Because that was never normal.
But they're not on that wave. We are. We understand that the old world had to crumble for the new stuff to come in. Even now, like, you guys follow me on Instagram. I've partnered with Public Square, and this is not an ad for them. But my point of Public Square, why it's so important, is because it is building the parallel economy, something that conservatives did not care for. They didn't care for promoting their businesses as pro-America businesses, as businesses that stand up for life, or the Second Amendment, or the police, or whatever it may be. And now they do. In the past 2 years, they do. So, you know, Public Square is making sure that pro-America consumers can connect with pro-America businesses, and that our dollars are being, or your dollars are being spent where, or with businesses that align with your values. I used to be more of a consumerism, part of the consumer world, mm-hmm. when I was in corporate. Like, I was like shopping every week. Like, I was buying sneakers all the time. I had an insane collection. I barely shop for myself now. Like, I just, there's no desire. I think
to consume, lately, like,
there's
that.
No desire to consume.
Realize it's trivial as things start getting worse.
I mean, there's a lot of times where, like, you need stuff. Like, you legitimately need, like, new underwear and, like, socks, or, like, you know, a pair of sneakers. I was looking at my sneaker collection the other day, and compared to what I used to spend on sneakers, and I'm like, holy shit, like, I genuinely haven't purchased a new pair of Nikes since 2019. I kid you not. I just haven't. And the latest pair of sneakers that I got were a present from my parent, or from my mom, which was two Christmases ago. So I'm like, holy shit, like, I really, like, I used to spend by at least two pair of sneakers a month, maybe, or more. But I'm not a consumer. I'm not into the consumerism. So for me, like, going to Target, like, I've never liked Target. I've always fucking hated Target.
I'm not a Target person.
So I don't really care to, like, miss out on, like, these brands. But guys, we're coming to the end of our show. I want to give a shout out to Stacey Velarde once again. Thank you, Stacey, for contributing to us. We truly, truly appreciate it. We want to remind you guys of our partner, Sentry H2O, under the water filtration system. Bella and I both use Sentry H2O. For less than $300, you can have your own water filtration system under the sink, done in 10 steps, under 20 minutes, removing all the bad, what is it called, toxins out of your water, like fluoride, like lead, like chloride, and actually putting oxygen back in your water, magnesium, calcium, and all the good stuff. You can purchase Sentry H2O on the website right there and get a small discount with LPN10. You'll get to support us, and you also get to support an America First company, Patriot owned, made here in the USA out of Arizona. So we will have this up tomorrow, hopefully on audio. And thanks everybody for coming by tonight, and we will see you next time.
See you guys next week.